Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 59. Getting up there, honestly, wow. Of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emelson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we have, I always say this, and it ends up being hilariously wrong. A shorter episode, we are going to be talking about Stone Legion Generals on Mythic in particular, and kind of what we feel like the problems are with the fight, and just kind of what our thoughts are on the fight after having both progressed it, and
it was a great fight, top five.
Oh yeah, it's a great fight, super good. AOK, that's why we're talking about it. But before we get into that nonsense, we have some things that happened this week. Do we want to get through those?
Sure. We had a couple of small things and then one pretty big thing. So the small things, I guess, first. We did get word, or there was finally confirmation, that a bunch of Chinese guilds have been removed from the Alliance Hall of Fame. So we talked about this, I think, last week and maybe the week before, about some oddities in the Alliance Hall of Fame. A lot of characters from the Chinese region kind of having their first kill of Mythic Siren of Nathrias and maybe the entire Castle Nathria Mythic boss list in a single night, their first kills, strangely popping up. So Blizzard, and I don't think it was Blizzard specifically, I think NetEase operates their Chinese, their Chinese version of WoW, right, for Blizzard. Did some interviews for some of the players. I think there's some hilarious quotes of like one person being asked why they have eight characters online or how they're playing eight characters at once. But yeah, eventually at the end of this, they did remove 16 guilds from the Alliance Hall of Fame, which is, it is what it is. I think, like we've talked about, like kind of a little bit of a joke, if you raid Alliance Hall of Fame is fairly easy to get. But the idea is that, you know, Blizzard taking any action in this region that has been known for doing real money trading for as long as real money trading has existed, it's just interesting that they've, you know, taken action such as this. And it'll be interesting to see if they change the Hall of Fame moving forward.
So one of the things that is interesting is the Alliance Hall of Fame is actually still full after they did this, because what they did is they took, they took 16 guilds out of it, and they took the 16 guilds that were basically, you know, 101 through 116, and they put them in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And so that means that the Hall of Fame is still full. So it would have, we have the answer to the question, when would the Alliance Hall of Fame have filled up? It would have been this week.
Right. Yeah.
So it would have been about 2 weeks after that, the sales happened, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting, and I am very curious if they will change it, because I think we are well past the point that this is a problem that will solve itself.
Yeah. I mean, I think it only gets worse. This is just the next escalation point of it, right? So
I'm looking up right now. So I'm looking up the Hall of Fame for Castle Nathria, okay? I'm looking up the Alliance one. I'm going to pull up the 100th guild on it. That is Avalarian from EU Stormrage. Oh. And I'm going to pull them up on WoWProg real quick. Conveniently, they have a very unique name, so there should only be one. And so the Alliance Hall of Fame, the bottom guild in it, is World 334. If I look at the Horde, the bottom guild in it is from the NA region on Nalganis, HC. Tried to recruit people from there before. They are World 87, okay? I guess there's some number of Alliance. Well, Progress doesn't have Chinese guilds. So there's several Chinese guilds in here. But like, that gives you kind of a sense of the gap between where the Alliance and the Horde Hall of Fames are. You know,
yeah.
If you look at the bottom, there's 251 ranks, okay, between the bottom Horde Guild in the Castle Nathria Hall of Fame and the bottom Alliance Guild, okay?
Yeah.
It's a lot. That's actually more than I was expecting by a lot. I was thinking it was going to be like, you know, 100 or something. No. There's over a month, okay, between the kill for Avalarion and the kill for HC. That's wild.
Yeah, it's a huge disparity in terms of like that. So, well, I mean, I think we talked a little bit about maybe how Blizzard moves this somewhat in the right direction, but I mean, at least the disparity wise thing. But I'm honestly more excited to see if they start removing China from some of these Hall of Fames, right? Or setting up their own one. Just because of outside of this, like the other side of it is just like the amount of like real money train, like stuff that goes on in that region is just disgusting. So
I would be very surprised if they did. Like, yeah. Like the China region doesn't have the API for the armory and stuff like that that the rest of the world does because of Chinese government restrictions. Mm-hmm. So we don't have them on WoW Prog and things like that. We could get rankings like that from Warcraft logs because everybody uses Warcraft logs, let's be real. And since it's self-reported, it's fine. But that has its own issues because like you could actually just take somebody's log and change some of the details of it and upload it as your own. Apes, as I keep cutting out. Oh no.
I think it's my microphone
position.
But yeah.
I think it's OBS. Let's adjust that. Hopefully that's better. But I don't think that Blizzard will just say China can't be in the Hall of Fame. I think they are going to be probably more proactive about cutting out sales of Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I am reasonably confident that there's one or two, at least, Hall of Fame sales. Maybe not in the Horde one, because that's still really high. But at least in the Alliance one from previous tiers as well.
I think it was just much more noticeable this time.
It was very egregious this one. Like, they would probably, if they had spread things out a little bit more, maybe done something like take it a little bit slower and like clear part of the raid 1 week and the rest of the raid the next week, and then maybe like wipe 200 times onto Nathria's just for shits and giggles, you know, nobody would have noticed. But they got greedy and they did a lot of these sales.
For sure.
16 Denathria sales is actually a lot. I don't know how many times my guild sold Nazoth, but I don't think we had 16 sales, and that was a lot of gold. Yeah. And we were doing it at the end of a very long tier. Yeah. And it was still a lot of gold. Like, it's actually insane.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But yeah, so they took the action. We'll see if anything changes moving forward, other than maybe have some better, or basically Blizzard being more on top of it, But yeah, that was I think that's now the conclusion of the real money trading for Hall of Fame, hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll be back next year and see how it goes.
That's true. Next up is a couple of patch. So we did have patch 9.0.5 this week. We have already talked about a lot of, I think, the systems that went in, like Valor went in, a bunch of class changes we talked about last week, right? So we're not going to rehash a lot of that. There was just a couple of things I wanted to highlight, which I think is cool. If you think these are cool. The first one is there is a craftable maw mount now. So there is now the ability to, I think you have to start by purchasing an item from Venari, and then you can begin sort of like it's kind of a quest chain, kind of a secret chain, kind of a like gathering mats thing, but you can go and basically make your own maw mount. It looks exactly like the one from Twisting Corridors, except it's, I think it's a couple of shades lighter in terms of the grays, but the actual model is very similar, or the same, I'm sorry. So yeah, so it's a cool little quest if you're into this type of stuff, you're into this sort of like secret finding, you know, doing quests for like solo content stuff. Check it out. I might check it out. One of the guys I know said it was like a couple hours worth of work. I don't know if I want to put that much into getting a mount I already have. But
yeah, I don't even normally put a couple of hours into the mod.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's if you still do the Maw, it's nice to have a mount right now. But if you're not going to do the Maw before 9.1, when everyone can mount in the Maw, you know, this I will say this is.
I can't wait for them to announce that, like, oh, if you have one of these mounts, you get to fly in the Maw. That would, like, would get people to do these still. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I would say I would only be happy about that if they're like, if you did Twisting Corridors and got that mount, because while this mount takes a couple hours to do, Twisting Corridors took me a week and I hated every minute in there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so a cool little thing here. We also have another Torghast, another update in Torghast is there's another item you can buy from Venari, which basically puts portals on either side of the chains that go out to the mountain or to the islands. So if you did those ones and walk those chains, now if you buy this item, there's a portal that you can click on one side, that ports the other side and back. I bought this just because if I ever walk on one of those chains again, I'll be happy I don't die. Because I think most of my Torghast deaths come from me like sort of running on it and like looking to the side at my other monitor, or like running over it and like the chains have humps in them. So if you like hit it just right,
you like just kind fall of off.
Pop off. Like when you can't do anything about that. So this is a cool little quality of life thing.
I have to say it hasn't been a huge issue for me because I have definitely fallen off and died. Let's be honest here. But it hasn't been like I barely ever die outside of that in Torghast. And that's partially because of what I'm playing. Like Brewmaster is very easy with Corrosive Dosage. Paladin is one of the easiest specs in the game to play in Torghast. Yeah. So that's part of it. I don't use my deaths anywhere else. I don't really feel the need to go and drop a bunch of Stygia on this. Although it isn't that expensive either. So
yeah.
And it's account wide. So maybe I'll buy it and use it on my alts, because not all of them are going to be quite as easy as Brewmaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the last time I went to one of those islands doing a Torghast run. I think you can't remember the last time you actually did a Torghast run. So
pretty close.
But yeah. Some cool quality of life stuff. And yeah, I mean, other than that, like the patch was this week, so all the class changes we talked about last week went in, a bunch of bugs went into.
There were some Windwalker fixes as well, but I don't know the details. I should have talked about. They got some bug fixes. Good bug fixes, unlike last week.
Yeah. So I know that Babs did a post for WoWhead that listed a bunch of the different bugs out there. And I think literally he was like 2 hours after they posted that, like two of the four he documented were like fixed.
Yeah.
They've got
a spreadsheet with all the bugs, and I know they have sent it to the Blues.
Yeah.
Like, so I know members of the team have seen it.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there was some bugs that outside of the ones we talked about that we knew were getting fixed or introduced. There weren't a ton of, like I said, we've been extending on Sire, so I don't think there was any raid bugs sort of that cropped up. We had our typical like limited patch, Tuesday patch, like lagginess for a couple of pulls, but it wasn't very long in terms of like its impact. So
they also nerfed Council of Blood this week. That was this week, right? Or was that last week?
Crap. I thought we
that was about. I think the announcement was last week and it hit this week.
Yeah.
I've heard from several people that they made the boss much easier to progress in phase three because you can just it's way easier to just do the kill the adds strat.
Yeah, I heard that. I think that was the first comment Max had, and yeah, that was like
now basically you, now you just saw, kill the adds.
There's
the PvP achievement for killing people with different covenants, which I was actually close to from doing RBGs. I think the one I was really missing with was Venthyr, because like there's not that many warriors in the world, sorry.
So Hint in the chat was saying that the PvP achievement that has you kill people from different covenants was getting awarded in Nathria. A bunch of people in our raid got that during Sire because you can kill like people in the other realm if you run into them.
It's not even connected to that. Like,
oh really?
While we were doing Stone Legion, we had one where like just everybody jumped off the edge because we had screwed up our timings and we're gonna wipe anyway. Mm-hmm. And five people got it from jumping off the edge. Like I don't even know if it's tied to people killing each other. I think it's just tied to deaths in combat with people. It's probably like when they were implementing it, all that they checked is if two people were in combat together, are these two people actually in PvP combat together or something.
That's funny. Gosh, I missed my chance. an easy achievement.
Oh, yeah. You'll have plenty of time because I fully expect, after having a week of Valor, I fully expect we're going to be PvPing for gear next year.
That's probably, yeah. And actually, yeah, and I think one more thing we go before. Well, I guess we can talk about now. A little bit of a mini patch. So you mentioned Valor, right?
Yeah.
I have done zero Mythic Plus because
me too.
I don't care, and I still think it's a bad system. Like, a couple people in my guild have sort of, you know, started to cook Valor for like certain things, and they are just doing like, they did a bunch of like twos basically, like to basically quickly do them, get Valor.
That's
like
one of the crazy things to me, is every key gives the same amount of Valor. It's 135 Valor regardless of key level. Yeah. So you can do a two in 10 minutes and get as much Valor as spending 40 minutes in a 15 or 16.
Yeah.
It's actually nuts.
I mean, you have to like run more twos to upgrade the item, right, to the highest item level at the end of the day, right, if you get it from that dungeon.
But at the same time, getting the item is actually the hardest part. If you've been paying attention to Reddit, posts are starting to pop up of people going, okay, I hit Valor cap, but I haven't actually gotten the item I wanted to upgrade yet. What do I do? And the answer is same thing you did before the patch. You keep running the dungeon until you eventually get it. And, you know, if you really want to optimize getting it, you find 2 to 3 people, ideally more, but that's 2 to 3 is realistic, that can trade you the item and are willing to trade you the item, and you do the keys with them. Like, if you're doing the other side for IQD or for the tank trinket, you get people in the group that are willing to trade you the item. Or at the very least, you know, maybe you have 3 people that want IQD in your guild. Well, you get in a group with them, and you just do those keys over and over again, and you keep doing it until all 3 of you have it. And because you're allowed to trade to each other, the rate at which you get it just way, way up. So that is the most efficient way to get it. But that's exactly the same as it was before, and it's still a huge problem because most of these pieces of gear are not interchangeable in anyway, like the ones that people actually want to upgrade are trinkets almost exclusively. Weapons are nice, but trinkets, like weapons are mostly interchangeable. There's Pox Storm, that's the big one that's not. Trinkets, though, everybody has trinkets, so they're not even a little bit interchangeable. There is nothing in the game that is the same as the scale of Hakkar, or Bloodspattered Scale, whatever it's called. There's nothing even a little bit in the same ballpark for tanks. There is one item and you have to get that specific item. So like saying you can get a trinket from doing any dungeon is complete nonsense compared to like, if you get a chest piece, you can get a chest piece from any dungeon, and trying to get exactly the one you want is like kind of a waste of your time.
Yeah.
But getting one and then upgrading that to 220 is actually totally reasonable. Like, that's not that hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll see how it plays out. I don't know what Blizzard thinks. I still think it's the worst implementation of it. It makes you feel even worse. Like, for the people who are staring at 5,000 Valor without the item, like, it, at that point, it just becomes compoundingly worse because now there's no point in you running Mythic Plus because you get nothing out of it if you don't get the item. At least before, you're like, I'll get some Valor. Even if I don't get the item, I'll need this Valor to upgrade it anyway. Now it's like, oh, you just don't get anything, bud. Like, you just wasted, you know, 40 minutes of your time or however long it took you to do that key. So,
yeah. And, like, I know this is kind of first world problems for me because, like, there's nothing I can get from keys except for a Bloodspattered Scale. Nothing. I could get a Bloodspattered Scale and I could get a Pox Storm. Those drop from 2 different dungeons and it's exactly those items or it doesn't matter. None of the weapons I could get could be an upgrade unless they are Pox Storm. None of the trinkets could be an upgrade unless it is Bloodspattered Scale. Sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. So Lincoln in chat points out that untimed keys give 2 pieces of loot now. And that actually is huge. Like, okay, if you're in a good group in your guild or whatever that is timing all your keys, like, good for you, I guess. For people that are pugging or people that maybe you're doing late night keys with their guild and maybe not everybody is all the way there because it's 3 a.m. You know, this is good, because even if you end up 30 seconds over the timer, you know, you don't get half the loot.
Yeah, it's still dependent on getting the item, right? So like,
yeah, Mythic Plus
has there's a larger item pool there. So I mean, getting a second item, awesome, but I would still say the probability of you going longer without the item is still there, and it just becomes a worse experience, right?
Yeah.
Even worse than like when you used to, I feel like this is worse even than like complaining about the old box, right, from BFA, where it was like, I got a belt for the fourth week in a row. Like, that's not that bad because you ran your one Mythic Plus and got your belt, right? And
okay, that's fair, actually.
You know what I mean? This is like I ran Mists 50 times, maxed Valor, ran it after I maxed my Valor, and still don't have like the trinket or the weapon or what I want from that stupid dungeon. Like,
yeah. That's and worse. This is a, like, without being on this tangent for too much longer, this is a product of personal loot and reduced loot chances.
Those together are an awful combination.
Yeah.
Personal loot plus
three. If you're playing a spec that not many people can trade the items for, you actually just get less loot. Like, you get less loot for playing a shaman than for playing a demon hunter. Because there are six leather classes. Is it five or six? I don't remember. It's a lot. And there are two male classes. So the odds of you being in a group with someone that can trade you a loot, or multiple people that can trade you loot on a shaman, is so much worse. Like, what are you going to do? Get an LA shaman and two hunters in your group if you play resto?
Yeah.
And this is, again, this goes for tanks. This is the same kind of thing. If there's a healer specific trinket, if there's a trinket that is specific to melee DPS, it is actually just harder to get.
Yep.
And that's an unintended consequence of personal loot. Like it points out, if you use a shield, how many specs can get a shield? There's two tank specs that use shields and two healer specs that use shields.
Yeah.
So 4 of 36 specs can even loot a shield.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst thing out of
absolutely. And there's generally only maybe two of those in a group. So you have one other person that might be able to help you out, right?
Yeah. And it has to be like, you have to have one of two. I guess there's also elemental shaman can get a shield. Yeah. But all right, so five specs.
Yeah. Yeah. So in any event, I mean, that's valid. I think we've maybe the third time we've talked about how terrible the system
is. It's bad. They need to, get Blizzard, get rid of personal loot.
Yeah, I would take that. It's funny, I saw some, actually, oh God, now we're going to go on a tangent of this, but BDDG, I think BDDG Twitter account tweeted out earlier this week, like, would you get master loot, would you want master loot back if it meant Titan Forging or War Forging came back?
Oh God.
And that to me was like a very hard question, because I was like, fuck. Do I want that? Do I want Titan Forging, War Forging as bad as I want Master?
I think if Titan Forging were just free Valor upgrades and we got Master loot, like, sign me the fuck up. I'm game. Let's do it. Like, if a Titan Forge is just three free Valor upgrades, like, hell yeah. Let's go. It's a bunch of the upside with none of the downside. And
no, I think they were just I'm saying good with that. I think
but they were if just it were literally War Forging and Titan Forging. Oh man,
I think my answer would be no, but
I think my answer would be no as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so Lincoln says Master Loot isn't going to solve the problem that sometimes shit doesn't drop, and you're right, that is true. But at the same time, with Master Loot, the odds of an item showing up are the same always. Like, if there are, you know, 10 items a boss can drop and one of them's a shield, you always have a 1 in, or a, like, if a boss drops 3 items, you have a 3 in 10 chance. Not quite. I'm too lazy to do math right now. Chance of it showing up on the boss when you kill it.
Mm-hmm.
With personal loot, you have, if you have one person that can use a shield in the raid, you have a 3 in 20 times 1 in 4, or however many, you know, items you personally could get to get that specific item, because the personal loot system has to pick you to give you loot and then pick that item to give it to you. So you actually just have a lower chance to get it. Just ignoring the fact that sometimes it still won't drop. Like, sometimes it still won't drop, but you have a lower chance to get it with personal loot than you would with master loot.
Yeah, but yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to take another tangent there. But yeah, that was another, God, another system maybe. Another system, another time. cool, and I think is there anything else in patch 9.0.5 that's big? Anything else we wanted to touch on?
There's one more thing I think I'm going to touch on while we talk about Stone Legion Generals.
Okay.
But that's more of a Stone Legion Generals problem than a 9.0.5 problem.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And then the only other final what happened last week item before we get into that little review is this individual by the name of Imalson created this really cool progression stats site. Basically kind of showing, you can like put in like your guild name or a bunch of different Warcraft log stuff, and then it spits out a like a view of like how you did from a progression perspective. Have you seen this yet?
I have seen this. You know, I have seen this. It's definitely not my name in the URL.
I thought it was an I. My bad.
Yeah, this has been fun to work on. So I started putting this together because I wanted to see some information. Specifically, like, a lot of people I feel like have really high expectations for pull counts and how much time you spend on bosses and things like that, especially when it comes to a boss like Sludge Fist that's mechanically very simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have some more information about that. So I put this together. And then this week, actually, the reason I wanted to talk about this, it's been live for a couple weeks, so I could have talked about this in the last episode, but it supports private logs. And this week, Max actually pulled this up on stream and briefly broke the site because he linked it to Twitch chat and a lot of people tried to load it at the same time, more than I was prepared for. So he briefly broke it, but it's kind of cool to see this. And it is kind of cool looking at Limit's logs where, you know, all of their stuff is like two pulls, and hearing, I would recommend going back and if Max has a VOD of it that's like permanent, that stays up, I will link it in the show notes when this goes up on the site. But he went through, and for things like Sun King Salvation, he was like explaining why their strategy didn't, why it took them 19 pulls versus like five or whatever, which like, I would love to kill it in five pulls. 19 yeah. pulls is still pretty good though. And you know, some of the different strategy issues they ran into, and then topical, an extended tirade about, well, tirade's wrong, like an extended critique of Stone Legion Generals because the chart of their progression on the boss looks like this. So this is like a chart of your that's like hilarious. How far you got into the boss on each pull, right? And so they literally just spent like two whole days reaching the exact same point in the fight almost. And then the third day they were getting, this is to the second intermission here. And then just like randomly killing it at the end. And he went over like, apparently they were surprised when they killed it at the end because they were still at this point where they were just wiping in the second intermission just over and over and over again. And it just like, had a good pull, got to phase three with people alive, and killed the boss.
Yeah.
As compared to something like Sire Denathrius, where they have a very clear kind of progression, you know, from high HP to low HP, and they're clearly making progression through the fight and getting to new parts of the fight to work on, instead of like, well, we'll talk about Stone Legion General's problems in just a minute. So this has been fun to work on. There's about 6,000 guilds that have pulled up their logs in this now, including some like Limit that normally private logs, so we wouldn't normally have access to this information.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually have information about the distribution of progression times and pull counts. So this is something I'm going to have in the future, is like showing the whole distribution. But for right now, you can go there and you can see, you know, if you pull up your guild, what percentile your pull count was or your progression time was on a particular boss. So like my guild, we did pretty bad on Sludge Fist, and that was, you know, 18th percentile. Not great, but actually not as bad as it felt like it was. You know, almost one in five kills were worse than our kill. So I don't feel as bad about it as I did when I started this.
Yeah. That's funny. So I guess that I mean, I don't know if this wasn't the focus of the show, but from a private logs perspective, are you using the new API for that?
I am using the new WordPress logs API for that, which has some technical quirks.
Yeah.
I have a lot of errors that have popped up in my logs for the site that are basically Warcraft logs returning the wrong data type for it.
Nice.
And that's really annoying because there's nothing I can do about it. So I actually have this really messy workaround in there right now where when you try and import private logs, it tries to do it. And if it gets that error, it waits 2 seconds and then it tries it again. And it does that one more time if it fails again, before finally just bailing out. And that brings it to working like 99% of the time. And like 1% of the time, someone is still going to have to like manually try it again.
It's annoying. That's funny. Awesome. No, that was cool. Yeah. I pulled up my, I guess my guild the first time somebody linked it to me, which was like randomly, actually in my guild's like Discord. So I didn't even hear about it from you. Thanks, bud. But, no, I'm kidding.
I don't usually like to self-promote, so I wasn't even going to bring it up on the show, except for, you know, this week Max pulled it up on stream and was like, that's really cool to see that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And there's things that I've done with it that I'm pretty happy with. Like, it's got raid times, so you can tell not only, you know, how long people raid, but when they raid. Although I think I'm actually going to have to rip that feature out tomorrow because of daylight savings time completely ruining everything. Daylight savings time sucks. Oh,
that's tonight, right?
Oh, that's shit, yeah. Man, we lose an hour tomorrow.
God.
Which sucks in its own way, but it doubly sucks for this because there's no way for me to tell. Because Warcraft Logs gives out dates and times as universal standard time.
Yeah.
And that means I can't tell if I should apply daylight savings time or not. And if I can't tell that, then, for example, my guild raids on Sundays and Fridays. And so our raid times on Sundays are 7 to 11 Eastern time. That's actually outside of daylight savings time. That is 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then on daylight savings time, it's 2 a.m. midnight to 4 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which means that as of tomorrow, our raid times will be different as far as Warcraft Logs is concerned. So I'm probably going to have to just disable that feature because daylight savings time is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, to figure it out. That's funny. Interesting. That's funny.
It's been fun to work on. I've been working on it more than I probably should because I've actually been off work the past couple of weeks. So it's gotten a lot more attention than it would have otherwise.
That's cool. No, it was super cool to see. And then, I watched part of the Max thing. So that's awesome. It was, that's an interesting site. So, so cool. So I think that's it for last week, unless there's any other final items you want to touch on before.
About covers it.
Cool. So I think the idea was for the topic of today was basically just to go through our thoughts on Stone Legion Generals in terms of like progressing the fight. You know, I think both of us just recently finished, like you just killed the boss this week, right? And last I killed night. It last night. Okay, wow.
Not so even 24 fresh. Hours ago, we killed this boss.
Awesome. And then, I had killed it probably 3 weeks ago now, I want to say.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. So I think the idea today was like go through how we thought progression went, you know, sort of how we approached it, what sort of annoyed the hell out of us about it. And then probably what we died a lot on, what we thought could be better, things like that. So just really just like a little bit of a, maybe not be the first time we're doing this on a specific boss, but a little bit of like just a review of how we thought progression went, how we liked the boss, you know, things like that. So, So I mean, I'll start off. So I did this, I guess, you know, from a role perspective, maybe that's the easiest way to do this is like, you of course did this as a tank, right? And I did this as a healer, although not a monk healer. I was on my paladin for this one. So I will say that I enjoyed the fight until our second wipe in phase three. I will say.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So that was, and we killed it for sort of an idea. We killed it, I think, in 100-ish pulls, and we hit phase three at about the 70-ish pull range, right? So in my mind, you know, it was a lot of early pulls, and I liked basically the majority of the progression of the boss. I will tell you that once you, like, for me, it's one of those bosses, and it's painfully apparent when you hit phase three the first time, is that once you're there, it's literally like, don't make one mistake. Like, you have one, or actually, there's probably 2 points of time in phase three. And if you get through both of those points without any other way, you know, making a mistake, you kill the boss. And so once you get to that point, you make that mistake the first time and you're like, all right, cool. I know what to do now. Whole raid's on the same page. And then you wipe 20 or 30 pulls to stuff before even getting to that point. it's super frustrating, right?
Yeah.
That was my major problem with the boss. It's too long. And
that's a huge issue with it. This is an 11 plus minute boss. Although there are kill times now, I think below 10 minutes from people doing like YOLO, just burn the boss strats.
Yeah.
And you know, that's cool. On progression, virtually everybody's killing it somewhere between 10 and a half and 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a slog. Oh my gosh.
I would say that, like, looking back on the fight, it's honestly, it requires so much like individual personal responsibility, but it's individual personal responsibility, not like people need to press their buttons the right time or do this right time. It's like you need the entire raid as you're killing the clump of mobs to, as they die, run away, because you don't want to pick up orbs early, because if everybody picks up orbs at the same time, then you might have them expire. And then, like, you want that last orb to go on a specific person, so it's their role. But, like, maybe, like, a timing's weird. Like, maybe you get the spinny disc thing, like, the whatever the cutting blade thing is.
Spell queuing on this boss is awful.
Before, like, you're normally ready. So, like, we wiped to spell queuing a lot. And it's not just, like, people didn't know what to do with the spells. It was, like, oh, we weren't used to moving this way. Right. Yeah. Or, like, we weren't used to, like, doing...
So, this boss also has the Zekul problem of a mix of health-based and timer-based mechanics. So Zekul infamously had timer-based mechanics, meaning the tentacles that go around the room, and health-based mechanics, meaning his push into phase two, which then started the timers for everything else in the fight. And there were actually just impossible overlaps, where if you had tentacles go off while something else was happening, you just died. So the go-to strategy for progression for a lot of guilds until the end of the tier was sit on your hands for 70 seconds and then push the boss.
Yeah.
Because that would mean that your timers will all line up, so you wouldn't have any tentacles during other mechanics. And the tentacles could definitely still kill you, so could the other mechanics, but they wouldn't happen at the same time.
Yeah.
We lost probably 5 pulls, which isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things, to the person that is running out to soak, getting all the way over next to their thing, like about to step into their soak, getting targeted by Ravenous Feast.
God.
It's like, if it happens 5 seconds sooner, then you have someone swap in and it's totally fine. We have backups for a reason.
Yeah.
But if it happens literally 2 seconds before it goes off, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You die.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I mean, maybe we sort of, as a sort of breakdown, like the different phases, because I'm a little old.
Yeah. So the fight is a lot different on Mythic than it is on Heroic. So if you've seen Heroic, you have a pretty good idea of what the Goliaths do and what each boss individually does. Those actually don't change. What does change is that there are new kinds of adds. So during phase one and phase two, actually phase one, phase two, and phase three, you have skirmisher ads, which are small ads, low HP. They teleport to people and give them bleeds. And they also, when they hit low HP, just like do a big pushback on the raid that's just constant. It's like you're running against the wind in order to stay on the platform. And that stacks. So if you push all three to low HP at the same time, everybody gets pushed off the platform and you die. Like having two pushed at the same time means you basically need a wind rush totem. Not necessarily like you can run against it and not get knocked off the platform at two, but a wind rush totem means you can actually do that and also finish killing the ads. And then in the intermission phases, there are now commandos. So on heroic, General Draven kills the commandos, and the orbs that fall from the sky come from those guys. And then you turn those into Prince Renathal, and then he does this big explosion, and you proceed with the next phase. On Mythic, General Draven doesn't actually kill the commandos. He does about, 30 to 50% of their health, and then knocks them out of the sky. And you have to collect them and kill them. And the way they obviously intended you to do it is that you would kill them one by one, because they have this shield when they hit 30% that says immune to AoE damage. So obviously the strategy could never be clump them all up together, put all your AoEs on top of them, and go to town. Except that Wild Spirits ignores it. Ignite ignores it. All the marksmanship cleave ignores it, because aimed shots is not AoE. It's single target applied to multiple targets. Things like Havoc still work, although I don't think Destrolock is really the play on here, but like you can multi-dot them. Unholy DKs still work on it. All of this stuff still works on that. So you drop three Wild Spirits on top of them, have a couple Fire Mages and some dots on them, and it's just like you just stack them up and cleave them down. Now for extra fun, the times at which General Draven knocks down commandos varies from pole to pole. It's random.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like sometimes he takes longer than other times, even if you push at the exact same time.
Interesting.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
And then
there's a lot of, you can imagine there's a lot of AFK time at the start of most intermissions.
There's about a minute and a half. There's probably 3 minutes of AFK time in this fight.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And then when you turn in the mana orbs to Prince Renathal, it does a knockback that covers about 80% of the platform.
Yeah.
It will 100% throw you off of the platform if you're in it and don't have a way to get back on, like a Transcendence or a like Wings.
Yeah.
And that's actually most of the major changes of the fight. Other than that, it's very similar to Heroic. You still do very similar things of like, actually it's very similar aside from that.
Yeah.
So it's the thing that really gets it is Heroic has some of these like push timer problems as well, but they don't matter because Heroic is not tuned to the point that having two different mechanics happen at the same time just kills you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the timings and that type of stuff was always, like, the push timings were always an issue. I mean, for my guild, though, we never ran into too many push timing issues, unless we lost people, right? So if we lost people, of course, like, DPS would be lower. But in general, like, once we had it was the first one that was the toughest one for us, like, getting into the first intermission. But once we nailed that, I mean, even, into phase two, we were pretty good on damage. I mean, damage is generally, at least in my guild, is fairly consistent. So timing wise, I don't think we didn't hit a lot of those issues. What we hit were like our issues were more like ad priority issues, right? Like
we went plenty of times to accidentally pushing, all three skirmishers at the same time, for example.
Right when upheaval's going off.
Right, that too.
Which means, like, number one, the person can't stay in it. Number two, the second person is now in, like, the fourth person circle and everything screwed up. Yeah, yep. So, I mean, we did that. I mean, a fun fact is that bleed you talk about the skirmishers do, it's Wicked Blade is the actual debuff. Yeah. And we didn't know that for, like, the first probably 10 pulls. And we're
people were cleaving.
Yeah, we're cleaving. We're, like, every time it's like, guys, stop cleaving. Like, stay on the side of the boss. Like, don't do that. And so that was a fun little anecdote. But we only had a couple of like really crazy wipes to things that weren't just either like something happened that shouldn't have, or like people were just not doing the right thing at the right time. Like we had like one or two bad blade combos where like we had the, I don't know if you had this, but we had somebody get knocked off in the intermission phase that also got targeted by blade. So when the blade went out to chase them and then they died and their body was in the center and then it came back through the center and hit everybody. We had one person take, I think it was 4 or 5 hits from one blade because it was during a winds and like the blade just like went like this everywhere.
I saw it. That can still happen, by the way. I saw a Twitch clip from a friend actually. So what happened was actually a little bit of a combination of the two. They had a blade go out to somebody, like do this zigzag around them, come back in, and then they like go through the boss, hit the entire raid, and then go to the boss.
Oh my god! Yeah,
and just
you're done.
Guess guess you die.
Yeah. So I mean, like that was I think a lot of it though. Like the problem for me was like number one, the AFK time in the intermission was bad because the Goliath, like you said, does that jump right, and because you're not killing it right away. And you're holding damage on it.
It's very spooky. Oh my gosh. Well,
so we would, the second leap it does kills. Like literally you have half a second to do something to that person. Yeah, to bop them or GS them or do something.
Right? You can actually grip people out of it. The max range is 10 yards. They will still be stunned.
Yeah.
But they won't take damage. So you could, in theory, grip them out of it. Because of the knockback on the platform in practice, you can't grip them out of that one. But
yeah.
In the other phases, you can. It's fun. We found that out because we have 3 priests.
And we only had our one disc. But yeah, or actually, maybe a shadow priest or two. But yeah, I mean, that was my role. So my role was bopping. So literally leading up to that intermission was like me just focusing on like when that guy's target changed and like bopping immediately. So that was super, like I just don't like mechanics like that where they are like, they're counterable, but like they're counterable to like a very small degree of error, right?
Where the margin of error is so small.
Right. Where it would be better if it was just a one shot. Like it would be better if like you would literally have to kill it before the second leap or just will one shot and kill someone. Right. At that point, I would be happier that happened than like this, like, hey, you have half a second to hit your button or this person dies. And I'm just like staring at my, like nothing else matters. I'm hoping I'm not in red circles. I'm hoping like Wicked Blade doesn't go on me, because if it does, I, like, the person just dies. So
yeah, I mean, we had people die because our paladin got targeted by Wicked Blade at the same time as that second one went out. And like, you can say, you know, obviously they should be able to do both things at the same time, but that totally ignores the fact that you have so little time to react. Oh, yeah. And you also have to be, when you're running out Wicked Blades, you gotta like look where the other person's running. You got to be careful not to cleave the tank. You got to watch for the red circles. There's a bunch of other stuff going on as well.
Yeah, it's not easy. And like the best was like I got crystallized one time. And like literally, he jumped as the crystallize was hitting me. So like I just like slammed it. Well, no, I got it. I got it off. But I literally got it off as I got stunned. And like in my head, I'm like, I am a golden god. Like I am amazing, and no one noticed. Zero people noticed. Like Raid Leader didn't say anything, like no one else said anything. I was like after the play, I was like, hey, did you see me get that bop off? And my Raid Leader was like, yeah, finally. Like, I'm like, you just see what just happened? I don't know if you said that, but I mean, that's the thing.
So I got knocked off the platform by the dunks, because the fun part about this is, so the way we do it, and the way almost everybody else does it, is you take a Warlock gateway into Renathal's circle, you get knocked back out. Then the next person clicks the gateway, and you just do that.
Yep.
If the second person clicks the gateway too quickly, their knockback will also hit you while you're still in the air. Yes. And that just is going to knock you way into Never Never Land. You can actually get knocked outside the bounds of the instance then. And so we had the Shaman get knocked out there, and without really looking at where their body was, hit Ankh, and we had to summon them. So that was fun. But I got knocked off the platform, and I hit Transcend in the air on the edge of the platform, and got to transcend back onto the platform before I died.
Nice.
And this is not one of those bosses. Like some bosses, if you get knocked off the platform, it kills you. Even if you somehow get back onto the platform, Kill Jaden was really notorious for that. So it didn't kill me. And then we were able to proceed with the fight and, you know, wipe to some other mechanic a minute and a half later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was sort of the somewhat problem with the bosses. Like there are so many things that will kill you. And like the fight is so long that like losing somebody in the first intermission is essentially like you wipe, like at a certain point, we're just like wipe it. Like there's,
I mean, the other thing too is if you lose someone, it can completely change the rest of the fight because of the push timer issues. If you lose someone, and there are times you can lose them and it doesn't matter, and you can just wait for a B-res and get them up. And there are times that you can lose someone, and even if you B-res them as soon as possible, it's going to completely change the rest of the fight.
Yeah.
And that's miserable, honestly. We also had the issue of, I would say my guild probably basically progressed three versions of this fight between all the different like combinations of push timers. Okay. As we were figuring out our kill comp for it, like we progressed one initially, and then we switched to a comp that had a little bit more single target damage, so our phase two changed like pretty dramatically. We were getting the fourth set of skirmishers in that phase, and we started skipping it, and that changed all your timings in the second intermission.
Yeah.
And then this week, the 9.0.5 nerfs happened.
Oh, yeah.
Which changed hunters and monks and buffed mages, I guess, but hunters and monks. And Wild Spirits was very noticeably worse. And we were progressed enough at that point. Like, I think we killed it in 8 or 9 pulls yesterday. Mm-hmm. It would have been, I want to say it would have been like 2 or 3 pulls if there hadn't been nerfs. But that's a really frustrating thing because we went in there and everybody was doing exactly what they had been before. And just our timers were all different. So we had to have, like, people were switching around what they were doing to try and get that those same timers that we had already practiced.
Gotcha.
And yeah, like we were able to do it, but it is super, super, super frustrating.
Oh, yeah. That sounds, timing changes sounds awful, particularly if you're that deep, right? Like the patch was probably not helpful to you at all.
So we actually, our Windwalker had been a mage and switched back to mage because of the nerfs. Actually had him on his mage instead of on his Windwalker for this, which is an extra layer of complexity that I wasn't a huge fan of, but it ended up being okay in the end. But that was my... Like when I saw when we didn't get the kill last Sunday, we had a 9% wipe where I accidentally taunted Call right before Wicked Blades and she just nuked the entire raid.
Oh God.
And when we didn't get the kill on Sunday, I was like, I really hope that the timer changes are not too bad. Because, oh my gosh, if we lose another night on this boss because of all of our timers being different, I am going to lose my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the boss itself, I mean, it's funny, like I said, like I liked the boss until we hit phase three. So even like these, it felt to me like a lot of these issues that we hit right were not bugs, were just like poor play, but... Because of, like, again, how long that fight is, like, any sort of poor play is an issue. Like, I mentioned the whole pickup of the orbs in phase, the intermission phases, right? Like, we had a huge issue with that. The people, like, picking up 2 orbs because you can do that. Like, picking that, like, all of them up at once.
Yeah, there's actually, so as part of doing, I didn't show this because I pulled up limits logs. But as part of the, like, prog stats thing, the website, I have hotfix information on there. So you can see if, like, during progression or before progression, hotfixes happened. And so as part of like putting that together, I saw there is a hotfix note that says you can no longer pick up 2 orbs at the same time.
For when was that put in?
January.
Yeah, no, like we
you can still totally pick up 2 orbs at the same time.
Yeah.
We have it happen almost every pull. And it's you can't pick up 2 of the commando orbs anymore. That's very consistent. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. Mm-hmm. But you can pick up the Goliath orb and a commando orb, and that's very, very, very consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean that was sort of what we had to work around. And then we had to work around too, like for us it was like healing cooldowns were an issue, but it was not it was like people just not using them, like, yeah. Which is like weird because like, and again, this probably happens with like push timing, but we'd always lose somebody, particularly in phase two. It was consistent for a while. Whenever that first Goliath got low, it sort of always ended up with the what is the running away, the dance. Yeah. So it was sort of always like that. So like a lot of times our shamans, because we had a spirit link for that, like the idea would be like, just use it. And like, they're like, but we have a meteor coming like about 5 seconds later. So if no one's in danger, but then like, not a tank would die, but like people with bleeds would die.
People would, like, you have 2 stacks of the bleed, you're healing immune.
Yeah.
The only way you live is if you have some really good defensive cooldown, like a personal, yeah. Or you get a spirit link totem.
Yeah. So that was like one for us where it was just like, just use it. And it's funny too, because I did most of the cooldowns off meteors, right? But meteors ended up being not ever an issue for us dying. Like, I can't think of a time we wiped to a meteor, right?
There were a couple where people got blown out of the meteor, where like, especially in phase one, when people are just blasting the skirmishers. On that second skirmisher set, we had a couple where like all three pushed at the same time while the meteor soak was happening, and just like, you know, 6 people get pushed out of the meteor soak and everybody that's still in it dies.
Yeah.
And that's not a meteor problem so much as it's a skirmisher push timing problem.
Yeah.
But
So that was one of the, I think one of the more frustrating things was mostly personal. And then it's funny, like phase one and phase two, other than like the one part I mentioned where I had to bop someone, like we're pretty chill. Like they're actually, it was fun. Like I'm a paladin, I'm like doing as much damage as I can, like throwing out holy shocks, like just having a good time, like ash and hollowing some stuff for DPS, right? And then you get to phase three. And like, holy shit, dude, like it's literally like you do 2 Wicked Blades and you get through like
2 different soaks and a dance.
The boss. And for us it was literally like the Wicked Blades and the dance were the only problem, because like as long as people did their soaks, we had really good players to do, like our players that were on soak duty were pretty consistent. We were great, but like then people lose their minds, man. Like we had one person do the whole step out of their soak because they were on one of like the last ones when it goes around the circle, right? So it goes from what, like earliest to latest.
Oh man, we had a wipe on Sunday, that same kind of thing where I taunted wrong. I say I taunted wrong, I mean I AoE taunted and it was accidentally in range of call. Like it wasn't like I tapped the wrong target or something. It was extra tilting because AoE threats its own bag of awful. We had someone, so there's an animation desync that can happen where it will play the animation for doing the damage on the soak, but it won't have actually done the damage yet. And so if you try and min-max that and you look at the animation and not at your buff bar.
Just wipe.
You just wipe.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like that. Yeah. That's legitimately just a bug. He pulled up his Twitch after and he's like, look, I understand that like the buff hadn't happened yet, but look, it played the animation.
Yeah, like I saw myself get hit. The game didn't actually hit me yet. Yeah, that would be super frustrating. And like the movement thing was frustrating. So it's those are the wipes when we got there. And then the next two pulls are like phase one, we are terrible at the pushes and like miss a timing, or like somebody gets knocked off the platform because we couldn't do soaks right. Right. Or like we basically eat 2 orbs because someone picks up 2 and dies, and then we have to wait longer, like for an intermission timing. That like, that's when I started to hate the boss.
Yeah.
Because I was like, as long as we spend 10 minutes not dying and just doing what we need to do, the boss dies. Because it's not overly hard. I think it's just
And that's I think probably the most frustrating part of this boss is that none of it is actually that hard, right? Yeah. The soaks aren't hard. The Wicked Blades are buggy, but not otherwise difficult. There's some DPS checks that you have to hit, but they're not particularly difficult checks to make.
Yeah.
And there are some healing checks, but again, they're not like super high healing checks. You know, you go in with some cooldowns planned and you can basically just blast.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it's a, you know, 11 plus minute fight where losing someone can, in many cases, just end the fight.
Basically losing someone anywhere like before mid phase 3 is essentially like you're screwed. Like,
Onctotem secret OP on this boss, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
because there are definitely a couple of points that you will lose people more frequently. I would say, like, in the end of intermission one, and then at the when you push the, for us at least, when we push the first Goliath into its healing immune in phase two, mm-hmm. we had an Onctotem on each of those. And actually, on our kill, we had people, one person die in each of those, take the Onctotem. And so we went into the last phase with all of our battle reses up.
That's awesome. Yeah, we used ours, funnily enough, for that one Goliath jump in the first intermission, and then the second Goliath jump in the second intermission. That's where we used our two. But I mean, speaking of that phase one intermission end, like, you had people get knocked through that gate, right? You had people.
That's a fun one too. Someone. I feel really bad for her. So she had been dealing with some other stuff, and then one pull, she just dies getting knocked off. And, you know, someone makes the comment, you know, you just got to be on the gate. You got to be on the gate. And she's like, I got knocked through the gate.
Yeah.
And like, I pull it up in the log. She doesn't stream. So I pull it up in the log, and lo and behold, I can watch her in the log replay just go flying through the gate. Like, I can see where she was, and she just whoom, through the gate.
Yeah, we had a boomkin that would consistently do that, and we don't know why, but we
think it's the shapeshift thing. Ours was also a druid. It was a resto druid, and they were in tree form at that time.
Interesting. I thought it was more of like a computer thing, like his client not rendering like the full wall, and like
because he's got a low. She was also playing on the potato, so
yeah. Which is what I think is, like, you get pushed up against that geometry, and like your client tells the server, oh, we're on the other side of it. And the server just says, okay. And like, you're gone.
Right? But unintentional wall hacks.
Yeah. So I think what we ended up having our druid do is literally like stand more towards the middle so that like he had more time to hit the wall and like maybe not get it. Yeah. Cause like if we
that's the first honestly one, a good strategy anyway, because one of the things we definitely lost a couple of pulls to was everybody stacking in the like actual corner. So they just wouldn't move when the knockback happened. Yeah. And then cluster bombardment lands directly on top of everybody.
Oh yeah.
And people start scattering to get out of it, and they get knocked back into it. And just, you know, three or four people just die to it.
Yeah.
That's definitely something we ran into. If I had to guess, I would say probably a solid, like, it's, I've complained a lot about the bugs and push timings and stuff like that on this boss. That's not to say that we would have like two shot the boss or something if they didn't exist. I would say probably half of our wipes at least are like individual responsibility. Someone missed a cooldown, someone got knocked off the edge, someone stood in cluster bombardment, someone cleaved the raid with wicked blades. You know, there's plenty of ways for people to screw up on this fight, ignoring the push timer nonsense and all of that. But honestly, I think we would have killed this boss in half the time if the timers had been consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was sort of, yeah, we'd probably, and it's weird too, because there's certain times where we didn't wipe, but I know because of a different queuing, it was just harder, right? Like, we'd had people. Yeah. Like, the first intermission one's always, I think, like the easiest one that I remember is like the crystallized versus wicked blade, the final one you do, right before you push.
Getting
that
wicked blade flip-flop first is so much easier. And then you get
100%.
You get the crystallize and you remove the wicked blade, and you don't have the wicked blade come out up while everybody's trying to burn the boss. Like, I can totally imagine like your DKs in the middle of all the mobs just spamming his heart out, and then gets targeted by the wicked blade, and like, what's he gonna do? It's a death knight. He can't blink out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that overlap was always rough. So we'd maybe get a one or two extra bleeds there, which then in turn made the transition to the intermission more difficult. And then like, we don't get the first crystallized for a little bit after that in phase two. So there's a bunch of other skirmishes up, just more bleeds. And like, those people might end up having two stacks instead of having only one. So
you can have someone get targeted by multiple different skirmishers. So we actually had someone a couple of times just go to three stacks of the fleet because all three of the skirmishers targeted them.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you cannot play that.
Hope just dead. Stand in the Ankh Totem will get you up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that sort of stuff is those are the frustrating wipes, because, and again, I think it's a combination of like, if this was a 4 minute or 5 minute fight, those aren't as frustrating, right? But the frustrating part of those is like, that's 6 minutes into a fight when like you now have lost 6 minutes to something that you guys didn't play bad. You just got screwed by the boss doing something different, right?
Yeah. And like, so one of the things that got us quite a bit early on as well is actually push timing issues going into the first intermission. So the number of commandos that you have when that when you after the crystallize basically depends on how much time you spent in that phase, on top of a little bit of randomness from General Draven. Like, it's way more consistent than when Limit was doing it. It's fairly consistent now. You know, you might be one different just based on Draven, but it's pretty unlikely. But you can be a lot off if, for example, you push after the crystallize at the end of phase one instead of before the crystallize. The earlier you push, the more commandos you have. And if you push too late, then even though you do your AoE burn at the same time, you can end up with too few orbs. And then you have to spend longer in the intermission, you know, dealing with extra mechanics, doing a whole extra crystallize and multiple extra sets of wicked blades in the intermission, while also trying to single kill commandos, get everybody to the corner without getting knocked off and all this stuff. And it's just infinitely harder.
Yeah. 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 I think, yeah, that's, I mean, those sort of things I'm generally okay with, right? Because like I think Blizzard might have designed the fight as hitting a particular timing like that.
I think it's somewhat okay, but it's a little bit like, it's one of those things that it took taking a step back and looking at what the fight was like and basically going, oh, even though they said they made the timers and everything reset when you switch phases, it actually only applies at the beginning of phase two.
Yeah.
And the beginning of phase three. So when you go into an intermission, the timers actually don't reset. So what's actually happening is just that we're hitting the crystallized stays at the same time, but the skirmishers dropping from the sky changed because we pushed at a different time. And so that's the kind of thing that's like needlessly opaque. Like, it's frustrating. Like, I don't think it's as inherently problematic as something like Wicked Blades just randomly wiping the raid. Like,
yeah.
That's just obviously a problem. I don't think anybody's going to ever disagree.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that's fair.
But then, yeah, that's, I think, my big frustration with the fight is, you know, when you're in a leadership position and trying to do strategy stuff for this fight, which I'm not the actual raid leader. I'm an officer. I help with strategy prep and everything. It's super obnoxious. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
And then it leads to things like, you know, the crystallizes in phase two can be at dramatically different like times. So if you have people looking and like, okay, I'm going to drop my spirit link totem at like 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And then the crystallize actually happens 10 seconds sooner because we pushed faster. It's like, guess what? Your spirit link's not there.
Yeah. Personal.
Yep. Personal note for the best.
Yeah.
And like, that's obviously a thing where, oh, just play better. Like, but come on. Like, this kind of thing is super frustrating.
Yeah. No, I can. Yeah. Definitely from a timing perspective, it is. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I think generally though, like the main thing for me, right, it was never really the bugs, right? Because we didn't really hit many of them. We had a couple of like the Wicked Blade things, but nothing like that.
I would say it's the same for us. Like there were a few dumb wipes to bugs, and that was really annoying. But it wasn't even close to like a significant problem. It was annoying, but that was it.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for us was just that it was long, and that it wasn't like difficult long or even epic long. Like there wasn't it wasn't a 12-minute fight and you fall through the floor three times, right? Like
Sire Denathrius is about a 10-minute long fight. And phase three of that, holy shit. That is so cool and so epic. That is like, if you're gonna make a 10-minute fight, that's what your last phase needs to be.
Exactly. Yeah, like there's gotta be some reward in playing through it. Even if it's, I mean, Sire's I think harder than, you know, General's phase three, right? Like 100%. But it's funny that you have more, you will end up having more wipes on generals just because you have to learn, not only have you to learn the fight, you then have to learn all the different cues, and then you have to learn all the different ways you're going to wipe because of, like, to your point, like getting ravaged right before upheaval, right? Or whatever the jump is, right? Or just like, you know, like the animation desyncs, or the fact that like your raiders have to understand that like upheaval doesn't go off all at once. It's like slowly around the room.
We had a surprisingly small number. I was expecting this to be more of an issue from looking at other guilds logs of people just missing their soaks. That was actually almost never our issue. We did have people failing to get the ninth soak because there's nine on the ground at one time to the right spot because they had to like cross the room.
We wiped to a paladin on that. Sorry. one of our other holy paladin like ran to the right thinking he had to drop it there, realizing he couldn't, or then horsed back to the other way, thought that wasn't it, and then ran back and just dropped them over. It was like one of those things where he's like, went this way, can't go that way, went that way, can't go this way, like, I guess we just die. And just like, so yeah, I mean, like, that was like wiping to that's like a funny thing. It's not like, it's like, okay, now we know what to do. It, I mean, the first time we got Wicked Blades, people ran it, one person ran it to the right like we were supposed to with the boss,
yeah, and then the other person ran it
to the back of the room, so
the entire raid dies.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, like those are like the wipes that I'm fine with because it's like the first time we're seeing it, we're cool. But like the wipes I'm not fine with is like, oh, somebody picked up two orbs, but then also we just dispelled that person because we didn't realize
they were picking up an orb.
So now they're just dead. Like, unless you have like a sack up or a, you know, a GS up, like we can't save them, right? That was actually another frustrating thing too, was like us dispelling as healers and like people picking up orbs and then taking the portal. And I'm like, you're dead. Like,
bye. You're staying like, there on the ground.
Yeah. Like, number one, I didn't realize you were picking up an orb. And then like we get yelled at, like, why'd you dispel them there? I was like, well, I dispelled them, you know, 2 seconds ago. That person then picked up an orb and then poured it away from me as I was trying to heal them. Like, I don't know what
else. We had planned out our dispel timings for every set of
our runs. Wow. So we did, ours was literally, because we're lazy, we're like, if you dispel the person, you keep them alive. If they die, it's your fault. I had dispelled him and then he died. And so it was my
like,
fault.
We either have like a spirit link totem or, so we either have like a spirit link totem, like a major raid CD, and we use a mass dispel to dispel all of them at once. And then they just get healed up by the raid CD. Yeah. Or they get single dispelled by one single healer so that they do not all like have their HP go this at the same time.
That's funny. Yeah, I think the only ones we ever, it was really the first two sets of debuffs were the only ones we mass dispelled. Every single other one was like, as a healer, make the determination, dispel the person. If you dispel them, heal them.
Yeah.
And that worked out well, but we did definitely wipe to people like one of our healers.
Yeah, that we had a lot of deaths, I would say, to someone, you know, they got heartrend with multiple wicked laceration stacks. And then they got, you know, the mass dispel and just immediately fell over.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was, as a healer, that was somewhat frustrating, but that was more, I wasn't frustrated at the fight at that. I was frustrated with like my other healers, just like, just do better. And then I frustrated myself because I definitely dispelled someone and then let them die because I like forgot it was my job to keep them alive.
So, yeah. Or you, and that's the kind of thing where, you know, sometimes you dispel someone and you're fine to spend a couple of GCDs healing someone else. And then other times you dispel someone and you have to put every single GCD into them or they will die.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to just look at their debuffs and see which is which. And, you know, sometimes you look at it and you don't notice that there's that little two in the corner of the debuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can only imagine doing that fight with the, because I never progressed it with the pre-debuff change, right? Once they removed the mythic only mechanic of like, whoever dispelled it also got a copy of that debuff on them. That sounds absolutely horrid, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the, dumbest thing ever.
That is, so I've not been raiding that long, right? I've only, my first CE was Antorus, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not that long, although it's like 4 years now.
Yeah.
I have never seen them just like entirely remove a mechanic from a boss.
Yeah.
Like, just the mechanic's gone now. Not, like, nerfed, so you don't really have to worry about it anymore. They do that. They do that pretty frequently. Just the mechanic's gone. The mechanic has been deleted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that, and just, like, that's how you know they fucked up.
Yeah. It was just too much. Like, the debuff did too much damage, even on a single person. Then, like, every time you dispel it, having two people have it was just seemed, like, absolutely awful, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know. Is there anything else about the fight? Like, I think we went through everything. I mean, phase three is like arguably boring, which I think is the worst part of the fight too.
So it's like, it's so funny. Phase three is probably the easiest phase. You don't have to worry about push timings anymore. There's no Goliath that's going to randomly make you heal immune at a bad time. You ignore all of the skirmishers except the first set. So you don't have to worry about those pushing at a bad time. Although there's some frustrating elements of that because you can't stack them on the bosses because they need to cleave in order to kill the bosses because it's two target cleave right there. So you can't just put the skirmishers on top of the bosses or the skirmishers will push. So that's how I accidentally taunted Call, by the way, is I was using Ox Statue to AoE taunt skirmishers off of our healers.
Gotcha.
And Call was a little bit too close.
Oh, no.
And that's the kind of thing that, like, it's really hard to judge distance like that. But anyway, so really, the only mechanics that you have are Wicked Blade and the dance that happens once in that phase, basically. Yeah. And then your soaks.
It's a joke. It's a joke of a third phase. So.
And you press Bloodlust there, and the bosses actually don't have that much health.
No, yeah. Yeah, which makes it even, once you get, I think, it's after, you bloodlust after the first Wicked Blaze or something? Or isn't there a time, there's like a specific time, or the first upheaval, right?
Yeah, we did it after a set of soaks, I want to say. Yeah. It was either after a dance or a set of soaks. I don't remember which, but we were oddballs and we double lusted the fight. We lusted on pull and used that to, like, we were stopping DPS on Call of Phase 1, so that barely mattered. But by the time we were really that, where we were so far ahead on damage in phase 1 that we were like, maybe we should get rid of this. Yeah. Getting rid of it would have changed all of our timers for the rest of the fight. And we were just can't. We're going to have to reprogress the boss if we do that.
Yeah.
And so we spent longer in the intermission phases as a result. So there is actually like 3 minutes of AFK time on that boss.
That's funny. Yeah.
The only thing people are doing is going and getting their soaks.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like that's the mark of, I think, like a bad fight is like when the final phase is not as exciting or as good as any of the other, like the earlier phases, right? Or just it's easier, right? So
you spent 8-9 minutes getting to this phase and then it's boring, you bloodlust and it dies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't mess up two mechanics you've already seen for the majority of the fight. If you can do those two, you kill the boss and win, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was, I mean, we, I think we had maybe like 6 phase 3 wipes before we killed it or something ridiculous. Like,
our number was something similar to that.
Yeah. Like, so it's just like, once you, it's like literally getting there with everyone alive and then we win. Like, there was another boss that was surprisingly like that where it was an end boss too. I'm trying to remember. But it was a very similar thing where, like, you literally spent most of your progression time in, like, the earlier part of the fight, and it was like, all right, get through this overlap or get through the, like, Zymok is like that, kind of, right? Like, there's one bad overlap of Zymok, and then, like,
the boss then you get dies. Through that with people alive, and you hit Lust, and just, like, the boss falls over.
Yeah, I mean, Zymok's, I think, a little bit more egregious where, like, you just need literally half the raid alive after that, and then you win. But, yeah, I mean, like, that's the idea of, like, yeah, there's not much past a certain point, so...
Yeah, and this is one I'm going to pull up my site again because this is something that I looked at a lot of guilds Stone Legion progression. So this is limits right here, and like this is what Max is complaining about, right? Because you look at this, and there's like two solid lines of like where their pulls end. And if you don't know that the fight very well, what these are is intermission 1, where the boss is immune, so you can't damage it. So this is just them wiping in intermission 1 repeatedly, and then wiping in intermission 2 repeatedly. And if you look at our guild, it's exactly the same. Wiping in Intermission 1, wiping in Intermission 2. It's almost every single guild looks exactly like this. And, like, so if you're progressing this fight, you are going to be almost just progressing the intermissions.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, like, my guild looks exactly the same, right? We have the Intermission 1 line, and then, like, after our second day on it, we have the Intermission 2 line. And then after that, it's, like, kind of all over the place with, like, yeah, like, 6 below that 50% mark. Like, 6
and then it dies.
And then it dies, yeah. Yeah, which is just, ugh.
Yeah. I think that's actually a lot of why the boss is frustrating, because frequently you do a pull and there is just no visible progress. Like, yeah. You wipe, the boss is still at 50%, even though you maybe learn something new. Like, that's the important thing, right? Is that when you wipe, you learn something from it.
Yeah.
But that's 200 pulls in, a little bit hard to swallow when you're still, you know, wiping to some nonsense in Intermission 2 because you pushed at the wrong time or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah, push timing inconsistencies is rough. And then it's, yeah, then it's just the length of it and the fact that...
The length of it and the fact that so many of the mistakes just instantly wipe the raid.
Yeah, which is on a fight like that, it's just, like, that long of a fight. Like, if Stone Legion Generals was, like, a five-minute fight, I think those wipes would be less of a concern. I don't know what the fight looks like as a five-minute fight, but the idea of, like, wiping in the first intermission at minute, like, 2 in that case, or 1:30 at that case, is not as bad as, like, wiping in Intermission 1 after being in the fight for 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, yeah, we have Dark Inquisitor Zanesh from Nihilotha as an example of a boss that is fairly short, yeah, and any mistake just immediately wipes the raid. Not even, like, effectively wipes the raid. Just actually does 10 million damage to the entire raid and you all die.
Yeah, and I don't know if that, now that thinking about it, I don't know if that's better or worse, because, like...
It was better, I think, because even though, like, it was certainly still frustrating. Zanesh was a very frustrating boss, and I don't want them to ever do anything like it again. Like, do not make bosses where the entire, like, everything is just centered around nobody making any mistakes on one or two specific mechanics for 5 minutes, or God forbid, 12 minutes. But Zanesh was, you wiped 30 seconds into it, or a minute, or 2 minutes. The boss didn't even live for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were wiping to it, you were wiping to it pretty quickly, and you'd get back up and you'd do it again, you could fit literally 3 to 4 times the number of pulls in on Zanesh as you could on Stone Legion Generals to work through those mistakes. And bonus points, Zanesh had no push timers or anything. It was all just, like, static timers. It was a very consistent boss, if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, the Zanesh issue was, like, you couldn't, you knew you were wiping going in at each of those times. Like, you knew the first group was going to screw up soccer a couple pulls. You knew the second group was going to pull, like, screw it up. And then now you're getting to the third group, you know, they're going to screw it up. And then you get to that final fourth group, at least on regression, right? You did 4. And you're just hoping to God the fourth group, like, does something. Like, yeah. I know that for that boss specifically, we actually had our fourth group for a couple pulls as the third group was learning. Go first, because it's the same pattern. But
yeah, we did the same. But it's still definitely, like, getting to the end of it, and, you know, the mechanic goes out, somebody screws up their pass, and oops, we die.
It's like, and then that just breeds, like, animosity for that person. It's just like, how do you screw this up? We've been here, and they're like, I've done it twice. I don't know, and I'm like, play better. I don't know what to say at that point. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know. And for Stone Legion, though, yeah, it's just that.
I mean, even I think you're spot on with that, because I think that is a large part of the problem, where, like, one person misses a soak, oops, the raid's dead. You know,
right? Yeah. Or, like,
one person screws up Wicked Blade, oops, the raid's dead.
Yeah, and at that point, you've been in the fight for, like, 9 minutes. And, like, yeah, you screw up Wicked Blade in phase one, you get yelled at, or, like, people yell, people get upset, like, a little bit, you get frustrated. But it's not that bad, right? Yeah. It's 30 seconds, pull again, you're good. But, like, 9 minutes into a fight, and, like, dude, you have done this. Like, we've drilled this into your head. Like, Hunter, run to the right, and then they run not to the right. And you're just, like, you're frustrated at them, but then, like, you're also frustrated because it's been, like, well, now I gotta make, now we gotta get through every other mistake up to that point and then not make that mistake, and then maybe we kill it, right? It's like, can I hit bop again? Because I know I'm not gonna, like, I've missed that in the past. Like, me personally, I'm thinking about, like, great, I have to do, like, intermission one bop again. And then it's like, all right, intermission two, I gotta hope my other holy paladin makes his bop. And, like,
yeah.
So it's a lot of that type of stuff where it's just like, yeah, there's all those points where, like, someone's gonna, there's like a point where you can't screw up. And if you do, it's essentially not a wipe, but it's like changes everything.
So much harder.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, even like at the very beginning of us talking about Stone Legion, you were commenting on the difference between Crystallize first or Wicked Blade first in the first intermission. And as a tank, the difference in difficulty between those two is night and day. Like, doing Wicked Blade first is actually so much easier because the boss stops hitting you immediately after hitting you with a tank buster, and you just have time to stabilize for like 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're fine. Otherwise, like, the Crystallize happens, Call is still beating your face in while you go over to get stunned, and then, like, hope you're not low when you actually get hit with the stun, because if you are, you're gonna die.
Oh, yeah.
Unless your healers are on their toes. And your healers are doing other things, like bopping the person that gets targeted by Feast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was all. It was. We actually started, it's funny, if we ended up getting Crystallize first there, we ended up moving Crystallize to the tank that was tanking the boss.
We just made it always go to, like, the statue in the back. That was our plan. It's the statue, that Crystallize just always goes to that statue. And then, you know, the tank gets in it, or if you're me, sometimes forgets to get in it because.
For us, it's funny. Like, we never really suffered tank deaths because our warrior tanked it, right? So we had a warrior tank there. But what would happen is, like, the Wicked Blade, if it came second, was just in a different position. And we would clip people. Like, it wouldn't be somebody in the bad position. It wouldn't even be the person with Wicked Blade. They go the right way, but it would be somebody else, like, moving away from the adds dying, and then, like, the thinking the blade was already backing and getting clipped by it and, like, chaining through somebody or just getting extra bleed. So
yeah. And okay, before we move on to Q&A, I have one more thing I want to complain about.
Okay.
And that is Call's hitbox. Okay. So,
oh yes,
Call's got a very small hitbox. Or, well, not exactly. She's got actually a reasonably large hitbox. But it's, like, small enough that she does the skate, like, skating thing where, like, you'll move a little bit as a tank and she will walk through you to the other side. And have you ever had that happen right before a Wicked Blade gets out? That's really scary, because if you don't get her back into position, the raid dies.
That's awful. I thought they got rid of that, or they at least gotten better at that. Yeah, skate bosses skating.
So many bosses this tier do that.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, human-sized bosses that do that. And so there's that, but there's also the fact that sometimes as a tank, you can be, like, outside of her hitbox, you know, at max melee range, and still get hit by Wicked Blade.
Yeah, because
we had a couple pulls where, you know, phase one and, you know, our Demon Hunter, who was tanking Call in phase one, just, like, the game decided he was inside Call. He, as far as, like, visually, like, we could look at streams and, like, he's clearly not in her model.
Yeah.
And he got hit by a Wicked Blade, and because he got hit by a Wicked Blade, it cleaved the entire raid.
Yeah.
Just like, and it's just like, guess we die. We actually lived through some of those because we had Spirit Link up, but
some of that, the hitbox. That sounds really frustrating.
One of the most frustrating parts of them. This fight just has so many different, very frustrating elements. It is definitely, this is the worst boss I have progressed, just period.
Yeah. That's a good point. Is it the worst boss I have ever progressed?
And again, I think it is worth mentioning that we have not progressed the pre-major hotfix version, which was infinitely worse. Like, that, imagine like all the push timing stuff that I have complained about. Now imagine the timers don't reset when you enter phase two. How much worse does this get?
Yeah, because now,
like, imagine if your push timing in phase one, you know, 70 seconds into the fight, determines the ability order at 11 minutes in the fight.
Yeah.
Like, Butterfly Effect is not a cool game mechanic.
No, that sounds, yeah, that sounds awful. Yeah, the pre-nerf version sounds even worse than this was. And yeah, this fight was, yeah, the not juicy. Good. I don't know if it's the worst one I've ever progressed, but it's definitely, it's up there in terms of like me just being frustrated, not excited for the boss to die, right?
Yeah.
Like I would rather tank N'Zoth for however long it took to kill Stone Legions again than do.
Yeah, I 100%. Absolutely.
As much frustration as Psychus is in like the down phase were, and like the fact that those moved everywhere, or just yeah. But yeah. In any event, not to go back there. But yeah, not
yeah.
It was bad, but I would say there's probably worse boss fights I've done. And maybe this is the worst one in terms of the way the boss was constructed, the mechanics, and maybe those other ones were just bad because the people I played with weren't very good.
That can definitely happen. Yeah. I would say like if I had the only bosses I think that they're really comparable to this for me are like Dresdegath, which is another extremely poorly constructed boss.
Oh yeah.
But Dresdegath was a lot easier, so it wasn't as bad. And then Zekul, which again, the push timer nonsense.
The coolest and just, that, yeah, boring, yeah.
That one had a lot of stress for me as well because of stuff that was going on in raid and in real life at the same time that we were progressing it. And then Jaina. Because I hate Jaina.
Oh, dude.
Dude, and I don't, we're not going to have this discussion again. I know we disagree on it. But Jaina was just another buggy fight, and you only got to see the bugs if you were a tank, basically.
That's fair.
And, oh man,
so worst progressed boss ever. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna fully disagree with it.
In fairness to this boss, I have not progressed that many.
Yeah, but
compared to some people.
Yeah.
But like
I think even though like limit, like Max and even a lot of the limit guys have said it's the worst boss they've ever been on progression. So I don't think you're far off in terms of your assessment of like this one being bad.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't see a lot of the bugs. I'm glad I didn't see the first version of the fight. Like one of the first times too. I'm excited that we saw all the nerfs before we got there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess real quick before we go to Q&A, so did you start Sire Polls yet?
We have started Sire Polls. We had a fun time lagging out the instant server.
Nice. Yes.
We made the instant server lag so hard that we had Night Hunters go off while people were in the air with Blood Price.
Oh, very fun.
Turns out if you spawn 40 adds with Earthen Wall Totem, Death and Decay, and I don't remember what else. Oh, Ashen Hollow up. The server just like the server just says you deserve what you get.
Yeah. You've messed with me. I will not mess with you by not doing what I should. Yeah.
That's actually frustrating, but we got that sorted out relatively quickly. We had a period where we were like, okay, well, we have to change our strategy now, and we spent like 20 minutes waiting on me to redo the note for our soak assignments in phase one. Did a couple pulls, and then realized all we had to do was actually like, so we had the earthen wall totems stop, and that was enough. Yeah. And it turns out we also needed to, or that was not enough. Turns out we also needed to get the death and decays off, and it turns out invoke Niuzhao actually can do it too.
Oh wow!
Something I don't know. It's something about his stomp, I think. Don't use Niuzhao when there's 30 plus adds out. Just don't. I know you want to, just don't.
That's funny.
It splits damage anyway. It's not going to matter. Nice. But yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No. I unfortunately, like I mentioned, I'm on the bench this week, or this boss, just because I was on vacation, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
So I literally missed, I would have missed our first two full nights, or no, I would have missed night 2 and 3, on the boss, so.
And that's a lot of progression to miss, so Denathrius is a 2 to 3 week boss, so that's about missing a week, basically.
Yeah, we've been going, at least I've been listening into the guild progress, so they've been pushing deep into phase three, so we've got a couple of deep phase three pulls, so hopefully next week's the kill. We thought if we got sort of our quote-unquote god pull this week, it would have been a kill, but yeah, we're getting closer. I know that they at least for phase one stuff, they were having issues with the double soaks, right? So like the way the AoE works, if you stand on top of each other, you can take off more than one stack, so
yeah,
they had issues with that. I don't know if, I think they still are, where like sometimes like one person will stand on top of another person and only one of them will get their stacks removed. The other one will just get one removed. So I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Haven't seen that yet, I don't think. Actually, we might have seen that and just thought people were just not stacked tight enough, and it might actually be that bug. That's good to know, actually.
Yeah, we've seen that with particularly with our mage, like our raid leader is a mage, and he was stacking on top of another mage, and literally it was like multiple
points. Are you sure he wasn't on the mirror image?
No, they were on each other, and like, because they're very like, he's very clear, like he'll record it and watch it back and be like, no, I was on you. And he's like, why did you lose two stacks and I only lost one? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that was the only thing that I mean, other than that, it seems like they're enjoying the progression on it. So
we're still doing the strat where you spawn 34 adds on the first set.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's Earthen Wall Totem is banned. Like, they're running Ankh Totem now. Nice. Death and Decay is no bueno. Ashen Hollow is assigned to a different point in the fight.
Nice.
And that's actually been fine. Once you do those things, the server doesn't lag. I have been told that it's inconsistent, and sometimes, like especially if you're raiding on Tuesday, sometimes it will still lag this instance server just because there are other people, there are enough other people online in the instance. We raid on Fridays and Sundays, so I don't think that's going to be a problem for us because
it should be good.
There are not that many guilds that raid on Fridays and Sundays. Nice. But we had one phase two pull, and we totally cheesed it by just lusting on pull and pushing.
Nice. Yeah. No, they've been having fun. It seems like it looks really cool. Like some of the attempts I've watched, particularly phase three looks like a lot of fun. So
it's a really stark contrast to Stone Legion Generals, where Stone Legion Generals has actually like a pretty large number of mechanics, and all of them, like none of them interact. They just all exist in the same fight, and the timers are all over the place, and you really have no idea what's going to be happening. Like if I asked you what was happening 5 minutes into Stone Legion Generals, like you'd have no fucking clue. It's like at some point in phase two, the Goliath is probably up at that time. Maybe you have a set of skirmishers, maybe you don't. It's like maybe it's somewhere between the like second and fourth soaks. It's like who the hell knows what's happening at that point in the fight. I went through and did my prep for the tank movement in phase two and phase three of Denathrius today, and it's so nice.
There's a lot of it.
You spend an average of 20 seconds in each position in phase three.
Oh Jesus.
And it's about 3 minutes long, so you're moving like every 20 seconds for 3 minutes the entire raid. So there's a lot of movement and all of that stuff, but it's, you can plan it, and then that's how you kill the bosses. You plan it and then you outplay it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this boss.
Awesome. Now, hopefully it goes well. Hopefully it's not as bad as the last one. So
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Now I just have to get my guild to kill Stone Legion again so I can get a Sire kill at some point.
I want that boss to be nuked into the ground. I want when we get to that boss again, I want it to be like other guilds, so they're just like just killed Sludge Fist. I want them to hit Stone Legion Generals, and I want them to like two shot that boss.
Yeah.
That's how I want them to nerf that boss. Even better, make Stone Legion Generals an optional boss. They already did like the unprecedented move of just removing an entire mechanic. Yeah. Make the boss optional.
Do you want to kill them this week? No, we're good.
We would never kill that boss again.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Like, nobody cares that much about getting their heraldry off of it.
No, yeah. No, not at all. Awesome, though. Awesome. Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Sire next week. If not, we'll probably have another topic or two.
Yeah.
But I think it's Q&A time.
Yes.
So we have a couple of questions, really zero on topic. I actually have a second question from our first question answer, actually. Which I don't actually know if this person wanted this to be asked on the podcast or if they just like listened to one of the podcasts and realized I talked about this, but I'm going to give my opinion anyway. And Emilson doesn't know what it is, so it's going to be good. So this comes from, of course, Azaru. And Azaru asked a question last week, and I had a little bit of difficulty with the name just like I typically do. So they ask, how difficult was it to work out how to say my name out loud last week? And then, you know, they go on to tell me how to pronounce it. They also
said, you still pronounced it wrong.
Did I?
Yeah, you missed the N.
Like a blazer. Oh, at the end of Kang, there's no N.
It says Onzeru.
It says as in blazer. So like
Azer. Onzer.
Oh, I thought he meant the whole like blazer, but with an A. Okay, so I already screwed this up. Darn it. Then they let me know that I could use their Peak of Serenity Discord name. I'm not going to out them whose that is. But no, Onzeru, it was not that hard. Okay, bud, your name's not that difficult. I nailed it.
Not as bad as Hursty Zirkeldays Scenarius, right?
Oh, Hursty, idiot. Yes. Hold on. That was a hard one. There was a couple hard ones early on, too. But I've gotten better. Just you threw me for a loop. So sorry about that. And then Onzeru actually asked me about the upcoming F1 season. If I watch, so Formula One, sorry, F1, Formula One, the race cars. If I watched it and what my predictions were. So I don't know if you watch Formula One at all, Emilson. Okay, so this will be a one-sided conversation, one-sided answer. But I do watch F1 very regularly. And my predictions for this season are Mercedes going to go 1-2 again, win the Constructors by a mile. No one's going to touch them. However, dark horses, McLaren is going to push Red Bull to the limit for number 2 in the Constructors. I think it's going to be a McLaren-Red Bull battle. And Ferrari is nowhere to be seen, middle of the pack, being idiots. That's my prediction.
F1 is like NASCAR, except with cars that aren't street legal. Is that right?
Here's the comparison. If NASCAR is a Ford Bronco from the 1980s, Formula One is a Tesla from today, right? So like you got some idiots in a big Bronco engine. I'm like, sorry, what?
I just you could not pay me to drive a Tesla.
I'm just saying, but from a technology perspective, and like the R&D that went into creating a Tesla is a lot more than it was to create a 1980s Ford Bronco.
Yeah,
right. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, kind of that is the idea, but like there's a lot more engineering and R&D that goes into creating an open wheel race car versus a stock car. Yeah. Not to say they're both difficult sports or whatever, just like Formula One is the peak.
I totally understand that angle. Like, there is something to be said for just having really cool machines on the track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These things.
Like, okay.
Plus you get to watch.
Shows and movies with giant fucking robots. Like, give me that Pacific Rim, man.
I was gonna bring that up. I was like, you love Pacific Rim, don't you?
It's such a it's a great movie. I super enjoy that movie.
Oh my god. It's awesome. It is, and to be fair, I'm right there with you. I'm not saying anything. I'm just like, I'm right there with you with that. Giant robots, I'm in.
Yeah. It's like that's when you think about it, that's basically what Formula One is. They're racing small robots. Like at this point, there is a lot of computerization in those cars.
Oh, there's a ton of data. Like if you subscribe to the F1 like website thing, like you can get all these different stats on the cars. The coolest thing last year, if you really care about the engineering, is that Mercedes developed a steering wheel that you could push in and out. And when you push it in, it changed the camber of the front tires. So that you could get more heat in the tires, number one, under lower speeds to heat the tires upright. But then in certain corners, you could lessen the stress depending on how you had the tires cambered. And because it was a mechanical motion of pushing in and out and the drivers had to do it themselves, it was allowed. So they drove awesome. With this steering thing. They were the only team to do it. But yeah, it was super, like little things like that are super cool. That and how they like bend the rules is always fun. And then when teams get caught bending the rules, it's also awesome. Like Ferrari, for example, like 2 years ago, Ferrari had the fastest car. Like any straightaway, Ferrari was literally, you know, probably 10 to 20 kilometers faster than anybody else. And then there was this big investigation that, hey, Ferrari seemed to be like boiling. They're like engine was smokier at times, seemed to be burning a little oil. And the F1 did a big investigation. And then like at the end of it, they were like, we're not going to tell you what we found, but we're going to fine Ferrari for some things. And like, that's all they said about it. So of course, like you realize like, hey, they were cheating, but it's Ferrari in F1. If you don't know, Ferrari's like, Ferrari to this day still gets like a $30 to $40 million check just for being Ferrari and being an F1, which is like no other team gets that money. They just get free money from F1 for being an F1. It's the dumbest concept ever. In any event, I'll get off this topic, but F1, if you get into it, it's cool. If not, my prediction, of course, is Merck 1-2 in terms of drivers and they'll win the Constructors' Championship. I guess, Emilson, for you, that means like they have driver's point standings and then you get points for your team. So if you finish first, your team gets the 20 points. So you as a driver get 20 points, then your team does. Constructors is like the team with the most points in the season wins something. And then you have individual driver standing.
So Constructors meaning the team that constructed the car.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's 10 teams and every team has two cars. So, but yeah, so that's the idea. Merck 1-2 in terms of drivers and win the Constructors. McLaren will give Red Bull a run for their money for number two in Constructors. Ferrari's a piece of shit. And Haas is going to be fucking terrible. Sorry, Haas is the American team.
Does Red Bull just like sponsor a team?
They sponsor two. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. So they have Red Bull Racing, which is their main team, and then they have AlphaTauri, which is their like sister team, and they're like basically their development team. Like some of these teams, like Mercedes does this with some, not Mercedes. There's another Ferrari does this with Alfa Romeo. Where like Ferrari is like the main team, and then Alfa Romeo is like the farm league team. They're not farm league because they still race in the same races, but like they might try something.
People practice without actually screwing up their main team's rankings.
Exactly, yeah. But then you have like things like that happened last year, where like an AlphaTauri driver who got kicked out of Red Bull and down to AlphaTauri won a race, Pierre Gasly, which was like and beat both Red Bull drivers. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like there's some fun stuff that happens like that.
That's like such a like so much popcorn when stuff like that happens.
Oh yeah, dude. Pierre went like Gasly when he gets out of the car, like has the biggest smile on his face, is just loving life. Like you could tell like in his mind, he's like, I got you, Red Bull. Like, yeah, you didn't want me. Yeah. I'm winning down here. So but no, F1's got some cool stuff, even though it's basically like watching the Super Bowl with the Patriots in it, where like you know Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes are gonna win no matter what. But there's still some fun drama around the edges. So yeah, so I think that's it. So Anzaru, thank you for the question. I nailed it. Not late, like not Azaru, which laser.
It's like Subaru, except there's an on in the front and no B. So that's actually not very
nice. It's like and no S. Like because I was like Subaru with Uberu.
Anzaru. Yeah.
Anzaru. I got it. I'm there with you. No, that'd be 100%. All right. So our final question for today comes from Abe, and they ask, why did Anam pick Juco over me? Also, favorite race in WoW. So why did Anam pick Juco over you? Number one, Juco's been here longer. Also, I like him more. For those two reasons. More reason two than one, though, just so you're aware.
Damn, harsh but real.
I mean, look, ask a question, I give a truthful answer. Always. And then also, favorite race in WoW? Gnomes, actually. Weirdly, gnomes.
I think Abe is right there with you, so...
I mean, literally the second character I ever created, actually my main for most of vanilla was a gnome. Put a gnome warlock. Although I did always have a night elf druid in the back burner, just in case.
I mean, okay, you were Alliance, you only had one option for druid.
Yeah, but it was a night elf.
Yeah, okay. If being night elf was part of it, then sure, but just, like, there's only one option for druid.
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah, but no, I think gnomes are the best. I think even today I would pick gnome as my favorite race. I don't know about you, but...
Nah, definitely not gnome.
You would pick panda, right?
I don't have, like, a strict, like, this is always my favorite and anything that can be that race is that race kind of thing. It varies from class to class. Like, my monk is always going to be a panda. And that's just how it is. It will always be a panda. But, you know, my hunter is a blood elf, and it's going to stay that way. And then things like, I have a, what used to be a Draenei DK, but then now I play Horde, so it can't be Draenei, and there's not anything close. So the probably the next best thing would be being a Night Elf DK, and we don't have Night Elves either, but we do have Nightborn. So it is a Nightborn DK.
Interesting.
And it's just
so,
like,
so you're much more like a class. You look at a class, and then you're like, there's a race combination that I think is best with that class, not just a.
Yeah, best. And it's not like best from a lore perspective, or like, you know, sometimes transmog factors in. Let's be real. That's why my hunter is always going to be a blood elf, because like there's one good hunter transmog set, and it looks amazing on blood elves.
Giant Stalker.
No, it's the Nighthold one.
No, it's
the Nighthold one.
Okay. Let's agree that you're wrong and I'm right.
But then, like, it's a little bit like it's a combination of like transmog options and racial like customization options, which has been a big thing because I've definitely changed a couple. Like, my warlock used to be a blood elf. It is now a Volpera. They have some really neat like tattered ear options. Yeah. That look like they've been through hell. And I don't know, that's just kind of cool. I like that.
Interesting. So to be fair, I would have never pegged you as someone who like goes to that level of detail. Cause like for me, I literally am like, everything that can be blood elf will be blood elf on Horde. Because
that's like, where I was for the longest time. Like, yeah. I had like, if you had asked me 5 years ago, every single character I had that could be a blood elf was a blood elf. Except for that's the only one who is different.
So you like would say like your taste matured and refined, while I'm still like a 4-year-old that only picks the hot race.
I would say that the improvements in models for other races, and improvements in transmog, and the introduction of allied races have changed the equation.
Gotcha. All right, fair.
If you notice, the races I mentioned that aren't blood elf or panda are both allied races.
Yeah.
So that's something that I couldn't have done 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Interesting. All over the place. Yeah. I mean, I think, for me, it's always been, I think Gnome is just, I'm not going to say what I was going to say, because I don't want that on record. I just, Gnome was like, when I picked Warlock, so personal fun fact, I'm deathly afraid of them. So
you're just saying that.
No. So, oh God, do I have to tell the story? Let me finish it. Yeah, but I have a story that I can get someone to collaborate with me that will let you know that I'm deathly afraid of midgets. In any event, I think just gnomes were like the first race I played. So like, to me, they will always have that sort of like, I don't know, connection, right? And that I spent literally like my warlock, my original warlock to this day, I think my monk just eclipsed his time played, like as of like mid BFA. So like, I spent a lot of time on that warlock, a lot of time as a gnome. So
I don't think my monk even has as much time as my hunter does.
Hunter is still
ahead. Because even though I was a casual for years and years and years, I was a casual that played a lot.
Yeah.
And so I just had a lot of hours doing random shit.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time.
I guess probably, I should double check. At this point, I might have more played of my monk. It's getting very close.
Gotcha. Yeah, but I think that's, I think gnomes too just look cool. I think like tiny things with like big swords are just, they just it's look a, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's cool. Like,
about like my Volpera Warlock as well, is you get the Scepter of Sargeras and you just have this like giant magic stick and you're a little person.
And all your summons are bigger than you?
Yeah. Like you are the size of your imp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I always thought that was cool. And I thought the gnome dance as a god. I was gonna be like as a 12-year-old, but I was playing WoW at 18. The gnome dance as an 18-year-old was very, very funny and cool.
I have no idea what the gnome dance is. What do they do, like the robot or something? I guess that's probably the mecha gnome one.
Yeah, no, they basically like they like gyrate their hips and they like.
Oh, I do know what you're talking.
Like they're like, yeah, it's very sexual in nature. I don't know. It's funny, Hamilton. God,
I shouldn't have asked.
I'm such a child, dude. I'm such a child.
If the question were rephrased as, what race, like if there were a default race that you could pick, but if you didn't have a specific reason to be something else, you would be that race on every character. What would that race be? Your answer is the same, I guess.
It's no, gnome or blood elf, yeah. Gnome if I'm alliance, blood elf if I'm, yeah, horde, yeah.
In that case, I would probably just answer Draenei, which is kind of a problem because I currently play horde, and therefore I have zero Draenei characters. I have an alliance alt that is still, well, it was level 112. It is currently whatever that got scaled down to.
not collecting rested XP, I'm assuming, since we haven't been on it yet.
Because it was 120 before.
Oh, nice, 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 nice.
So it was rested XP capped before the expansion.
Very cool. Yeah. That's Draenei. That's funny. That was always... When BC came out, I leveled a Draenei just to go through the starter zone because it was so much better than every other starter zone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the time. But yeah, I never actually leveled one past that.
Eversong Woods and Emmonvale are both like special place in my heart. Just like huge amounts of nostalgia for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I did level a friend's shaman, but that was later. But yeah.
It doesn't
count on PC. It doesn't count.
But yeah, we will. Let's not get into a tangent about how much we are looking forward to Burning Crusade Classic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I think that is Abbe. Thank you for the question. I guess. I mean, you could have picked a better one.
All right. I have a topical question.
Okay. Awesome.
You have 30 seconds to give someone one important tip for progressing Stone Legion Generals. What is your tip?
One important tip for progressing Stone Legion Generals. Manage add DPS, particularly on skirmishers, to ensure you're not pushing them all at the same time. And then, yeah, that's the biggest thing, is manage your add DPS on those and then across the board, like intermissions and on Goliaths, right? Making sure you're pushing them at appropriate times. But, I mean, the fight, to me, that's... If you can do that, you wipe out a lot of the silly wipes where people are moving, whether it's unintended. But yeah, I think that would be the 30-second quick tip. So I don't know if that was in 30 seconds.
It's fine.
That would be my quick tip because I think that would help a lot.
Yeah. Mine would be try to switch people around as little as possible. You will have fewer wipes if you just raid with the same consistent 20 people. Even if you think, you know, having a particular... person in, like, obviously if someone is just playing poorly, you know, you don't have much choice at that point, you need to swap them out.
Yeah,
but like keeping the same 20 people in is going to cut your wipes down a lot, just because your push timers will be so much more consistent. That is one of the reasons I think we had more struggles with the push timer boss, is we swapped people around more than was necessary, and that led to us progressing various versions of the fight, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually really good, because that's generally what we do, just in general, right? Is we will pull with everyone for half a night, and then after that half a night, we will set a comp.
Yeah,
and like very rarely try and change it. So yeah, it's funny because you kept bringing up the pulse, like when we were talking about it, right? We talked about like you hit those like different timings, and I was like.
Ours was unavoidable. Like, we do something similar to you. We do it for a little bit longer than half a night, but not like that much longer. But then we also, like, we had people that were out for real life stuff. We had people that, you know, just got disconnected in the middle of raid and didn't come back until after.
Jesus.
The stuff in Texas happened. It's our Sludge Fest. I don't remember. It happened either during Sludge Fest or Stone Legion Generals, and we just like had people out, and that was unfortunate.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, the comp changes I think are rough, but being consistent, that's a really good one.
Just try and keep the same 20 people in so that you can have a consistent fight to work on.
Yeah, and it breeds not only the timings, but it breeds just like people seeing all the different queuings, right? and they know exactly how to do it. So,
all right. Well, true to form, this episode was not actually any shorter than is typical. Some of that is due to our longer than normal intro. Some of it is because Stone Legion is a real doozy of a boss.
Yeah.
But in any case, I think that is going to bring this episode of the PK Serenity podcast to a close. Thank you all for listening, or, you know, coming and watching on the stream. Hi, I see you there. It's been fun. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you enjoyed it and you want to support this podcast and all of the other work that we do over on the PK Serenity, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/PK Serenity. And fun fact, not only do you support the show and the site when you go and support us on Patreon, you also get a cool color in Discord, or one of multiple colors, and access to some private channels. And Babylonius does a D&D campaign for patrons that you can do if you're interested in that. So there are other perks. You don't have to just do it because it's a good thing to do. But that is going to wrap up our show for this week. Again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.